This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News. I've got my friend Ron Hutchcraft on the line of Ron Hutchcraft Ministries. We're going to be talking, celebrating really the 30-year anniversary of On Eagle's Wings. And Ron, this is a ministry close to my heart. Can you take us back and explain how it even got started?
You know, it's fun to go back 30 years and think about that. I actually have in front of me my Jesus journal. I've been journaling for many years, my time with him. And this is from March 25th, 1992. That would be 30 years ago, right? It says, Karen and I are going to Arizona today. We are leaving for the reservation. Now, that may just seem like another entry. And to me, it was to be a week of speaking on the Navajo reservation. That's all I knew. God had other plans, and he usually does. He's the God of surprises. And as I got on the plane that day, now I realized my whole life up to that point had been cross-cultural youth ministry, and I had worked in a lot of urban settings like Harlem and the South Side of Chicago, Chinatown, Times Square. I had worked with rich white kids, poor white kids, many kinds of young people. I was asked to go different places and speak on America's young people. But here's what shocked me. Literally that day, the largest report ever done on reservation young people came out of the University of Minnesota. And so it was front page on newspapers across the country as we traveled. And I mean, Native Americans are hardly ever on the front page, if in news at all. And it called them the most devastated adolescents in America. And I was like, wait a minute. First of all, that comes out the day I'm going there. And secondly, how could this be that I don't even know anything about Native American young people? Later, I would learn that that's pretty much true of most of my brothers and sisters all over this country. So that week, not only did I learn a lot, not only did I meet many, but God gave me an unscheduled broken heart. He has never healed that broken heart, and I don't want him to. And so I would say that this began, what's turned out to be a miracle, began with the word discovery. That I discovered that week a need that I did not know about, and young people with enormous potential, but so tragically broken by all that they have lost and all of the pain that they have suffered and the grieving that is like serial grieving on a reservation. So I realized one of the things I learned was that Native Americans, who were the first mission field in America, after 400 years of mission work, first Bible translation on this continent was done for Native Americans, only 4% knew Christ. And I'm like, this is awful. I mean, we've done better almost everywhere in the world than right here in our own country with the first people of this land. And I discovered this double blindness, and I had been a part of it, that it seems like the Prince of Darkness has blinded the first Americans to Jesus by convincing them he's the white man's God. And much of their history, they can see where Christianity was the name placed on many of the things that were done to them. It wasn't Jesus, but Christianity, so to speak. On the other hand, there is the blindness of me as an American Christian and my brothers and sisters, the Native Americans. So he had opened my eyes, and with that, put a burden on my heart and a responsibility. And as we prayed about it, and I thought about it throughout all my years in cross-cultural youth ministry, it became very clear that if we did just what has been done, that the result would not change. And that summer, we took some kids out on a reservation. This is 30 years ago this summer. We took a few Native kids out to share Christ with other Native kids. And it was amazing what happened. that had not been done before. And a veteran and missionary told me, I never thought I'd see Indian kids leading Indian kids to Christ. Little did we know that that would be the first of 100 reservations we've been to with teams of Native Americans, that it would ultimately result in the National Conference, Discipleship Conference exclusively for Native American young people, called Warrior Leadership Summit, and that it would lead 30 years later to the day, literally on March 25th, 2022, literally 30 years later, the framing of the first structure of the On Eagle's Wings Leadership Center was completed. I never could have dreamed how big and extensive the will of God would be. And never did I realize that I would be an eyewitness to thousands of Native Americans choosing Christ, but only as the little white guy on the bus praying for a team of Native Americans who are some of the greatest overcomers I've ever met, having overcome, they were some of those horrible statistics of the of all that Native Americans have to deal with. And now they are such powerful messengers of the message of Christ that when they invite a young person to come to Christ on a reservation, they choose that Jesus for themselves.
And as you're standing kind of on this, I don't know if precipice is the right word, but you're standing here looking back on the 30 years, and we'll talk about the future in just a second. But as you're looking back, does anything stand out as maybe what has been the biggest surprise or something you weren't expecting?
Well, first of all, the surprise that I would come away from the reservation that week with a new calling. So God, that this all started with a big surprise. I think there's been so much I've had to learn. I thought I knew how to disciple young people. I've worked with kids with who have a lot of battles in their life all my life. But I've had to learn new strategies for discipling. I don't think I realized initially the powerful people that young Native Americans are potentially. I did not know initially that because of that warrior spirit, because of their God-given ability to read a heart, when they're quiet, often a Native person is reading a heart. Because of their spirituality that is about your whole life, not about a compartment in your life. When all of that comes under the lordship of Christ, fasten your seatbelt. I have seen them get out on reservation basketball courts, looking into the hardened eyes and faces and countenances of Native American young people, hearts hardened by a lot of pain and a lot of bad choices. And I watched as these On Eagle's Wings team members, these young warriors, give their hope stories. And having worked with young people, having heard a lot of testimonies in my life, I did not fully realize what would happen with their hope stories as I watch the hard countenances turn soft, as I watch young men and women who are convinced that Jesus is the white man's God, represented now by young Native Americans, his powerful messengers, as they tell about a brown-skinned man, Mediterranean Jew, Jesus was, from a tribe who lived on land that others had occupied, who loved nature, who told stories, who was homeless much of the time, and who died a violent death, who understands the Native experience, therefore. When they told about him, I don't think I ever could have anticipated the kinds of responses that happened at Center Court on many a reservation as they extend the invitation for their generation to come to Christ, and to see the walls come down, the hearts open, and literally what I consider to be Great Commission miracles taking place through young Native Americans. You know, the thing about a broken vessel, and there's much broken in their past, is that there's more places for the light to shine through. I believe that the American church has no idea of the powerful resource for the gospel that the first people of our land could be if they were given a real chance to know the real Jesus, and more could be done. We found out what works. It's the right messengers with a life-changing message. Billy Graham pointed it out 40 years ago when he said Native Americans are the sleeping giant. And if ever there were to be a revival or a spiritual awakening among them, Billy said, they might become the evangelists who would reach America for Christ. I believe that. And he concluded by saying, remember these forgotten people. And right now in this interview, with whoever's listening or reading, we are doing that right now. Because God has never forgotten them.
Amen. And as we look to the future, you know, can you describe what's on the horizon and how we can pray? Obviously, we'll connect people so they can financially support things, but what are the most important things we can pray for?
Thank you. Well, the future, I think, is brighter than ever. And all of our times with these young men and women who many of them I consider sons and daughters, really, in the faith. And it's interesting that my wife was called by them Mama Hutch. And to many of them, I'm Papa Hutch. And that is an honor to be called that. That we have every summer seen how rapidly they grow. Many of them experience a sense of calling. They've never believed their life could really do something important, and then they see how God uses them among their own people, and it starts something. It starts a work in their heart. But every summer we go, if we only had them longer, if we only had more time with them, because we know that everything that is spiritually significant that needs to happen in Native America and among the First Nations people of Canada depends on Native leaders. That's the key. The empowerment of Native young men and women to go and be the messengers and hope agents of hope to their people. The problem is that so many of these young people have so many broken pieces inside of them. And it's so important that they be aggressively discipled to withstand the pressures and the temptations that bring down so many young followers of Christ, and equipped with strategies and skills for the reaching of their people and to be leaders for their people. There, outside my office window right now, I am looking at the building of the On Eagle's Wings Leadership Center. We kept saying, if we only had more time, we're going to now. And we will have the wonderful opportunity to have them here for a gap year program with an experience, not just classes, not just teaching, but a whole life experience together. With other Native young men and women who also want to pursue their love for Jesus and their passion for their people. And We'll have many Native teachers and resource people who will be a part of this. And over that period of time, it is our goal that they will be able to experience a Jesus lifestyle and a practical strategies for being, as Jesus said, or as Paul said, more than conquerors through him who loved us, that they will be able to live for him for a lifetime and lead for him for a lifetime. It's interesting that the Trail of Tears of the Cherokee people, one branch of it went literally across this land in 1838. And the future that excites me is that where once there was a trail of tears, there will now be a trail of hope. And the key to this is not me. It is these First Nations and Native American young people who are my heroes, and I believe God's heroes as well. So the future looks exciting because as there are more leaders that are prepared to go back and be a leader for Christ among their people, that means there will be more leaders for more teams to go out to more reservations throughout the year. There will be youth ministries begun on reservations that have none, and that's many, if not most, reservations. There will be Native pastors, more Native pastors and workers, and just nurses who love Christ and are representing Christ as they care for the physical needs of people. And it's an amazing thing to think that we could be a small part of a growing army of discipled and equipped young Native leaders who can be the face of hope and hands of hope and heart of hope for their people. So it's the future looks very exciting because of the multiples. We know what now works. Now it just needs to be multiplied. And that all depends on Native leaders. And this is the leadership center to help that happen. So in many ways, I feel like 30 miracle years have been ultimately prologue for the real work God wants to do among the first people of our land.